ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. கஜேந்திரஸ் பிரேயர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சரண்டர். சோஹம் விஸ்வஸ்ருஜம் விஸ்வம் விஸ்வம் விஸ்வவேதசம் விஸ்வாத்மா விஸ்வாத்மானாம் அஜம் ப்ரஹ்மா ப்ரணோதி அஸ்மி பரம் பதம். சோஹம் விஸ்வஸ்ருஜம் விஸ்வம் அவிஸ்வம் விஸ்வவேதசம் விஸ்வாத்மானமஜம் ப்ரஹ்மா ப்ரணதோஸ்மி பரம் பதம். சோஹம் விஸ்வஸ்ருஜம் விஸ்வம் அவிஸ்வம் விஸ்வவேதசம் விஸ்வாத்மானமஜம் ப்ரஹ்மா ப்ரணதோஸ்மி பரம் பதம். 1% can repeat. சோஹம் விஸ்வஸ்ருஜம் விஸ்வம் விஸ்வம் விஸ்வவேதசம் விஸ்வாத்மானமஜம் ப்ரஹ்மா பரம் தபஸ்மி பரம் பதம். அவிஸ்வம் விஸ்வவேதசம் So that aham, I, the person desiring release from material life, Vishwa Srujam, unto he who has created this cosmic manifestation, Vishwam, who is himself the whole cosmic presentation, Avishwam, although he is transcendental to the cosmic manifestation, Vishwa Vedasam, who is the knower or ingredient of this universal affairs, Vishwa Atmanam, the soul of the universe, Ajam, who is never born, eternally existing, Brahma, the Supreme, Pranataha Asmi, I offer my respectful obeisances, Param, who is transcendental, Padam, the shelter. Translation. Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the super soul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes when Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness is preached to the common man, people argue, where is Krishna? Where is God? Can you show him to us? In this verse, the answer is given that if we are sufficiently intelligent, we must know that there is someone who has created the entire cosmic manifestation, who has supplied and has become the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation, who is eternally existing but who is not within the cosmic manifestation. Simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. This is the beginning of the devotional life. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. It's a good fortune today. We have today with us Vishwarup Prabhu. I would like to briefly introduce to those students who are seeing him for the first time. Vishwarup Prabhu is a Brahman initiated disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He joined ISKCON Juhu in 84 while studying MBBS at JJ Hospital. He completed his MBBS in 1985 and joined full-time in 86 till 93. He got first initiated in 86 and second initiation in 87. Afterwards, he stayed for 1 year in Rishikesh, also 1 year in Vrindavan. Rest of 7 years he stayed in Radha Gopinath Temple. Currently serving as a Deputy Director for Bhaktivedanta Hospital, he is the Chief Coordinator for Barsana Monthly and Annual Eye Camp. He is also a Deputy Director for Bhaktivedanta Hospital at Vrindavan.
Hospice
at Vrindavan. And pioneer in making curriculum for spiritual care in nursing, for Diploma Nursing and BSc Nursing courses. He is also a Chief Faculty in subject of spirituality in nursing for Diploma as well as BSc Nursing in Bhaktivedanta Institute of Nursing Education. He has been delivering many seminars at different parts of the world. He delivered seminar in John F. Kennedy Hospital, New Jersey in 2007 on concepts of spiritual care. He also delivered seminar on Heaven Hospital in New Jersey in 2007 on end of life spiritual care. Also delivered lectures to doctors in 2008 and
Birmingham,
United Kingdom, on concept of holistic care in medicine, and is also a regular speaker of Bhagavad Gita on Atma serial on Star Plus. It's a great fortune today to have him with us. He had come last time on Radhashtami to Pune Temple, and we were practically drowned for 4 or 5 hours continuously. Was doing nice Radhashtami on Katha Dips. So I'd like to thank him and welcome him to our camp, Nishtha Camp, by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you on the behalf of the authorities of Radha Giridhari Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Temple, the students from IIT Chennai, IIT Kharagpur, NIT Trichy, NIT Warangal, NIT Suratkal, NIT Rourkela, College of Engineering Pune, VIT Pune, VNIT Nagpur. Is that all? Hare Krishna. I very, very warmly... SRM College also. Sorry for those who are from SRM College. From very bottom of my heart, on behalf of the authorities of this temple, I would like to welcome all of you to the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radha Giridhari and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. I suppose that under the able guidance of His Grace Radhesham Prabhu and others who have been here, who brought you here. The very purpose of your tour to various places in the centers is to actually learn about the glories of Prabhupada. What is the meaning of spreading Krishna consciousness, and what is the meaning of being Krishna conscious, and what is the effect of the efforts of spreading Krishna consciousness, how people's lives are transformed, and actually to take shelter at the feet of the Lord. This is the underlying process. In the process of getting inspired by visiting so many temples of Srila Prabhupada, only one thing comes in the heart: to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, for which he worked hard for so many years in his fag end of his life. So I congratulate you for having transformed your lives into the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. It's a very wonderful lifestyle. Very, very wonderful, blissful lifestyle. Anybody who is morose, who becomes Krishna conscious, becomes happy. That is the secret of this Krishna consciousness movement. Nobody who becomes truly Krishna conscious can remain unhappy in life. Nobody who becomes truly Krishna conscious can become lazy in life. There is no question of unhappiness. There is no question of nirasha, hopelessness. Because hopelessness gets transformed into hopefulness when we become Krishna conscious. Sorrow turns into happiness when we become Krishna conscious. Ignorance turns into knowledge by becoming Krishna conscious. And that is our life. And mortal life becomes immortal, eternal life when we become Krishna conscious. So it's a joy to see all of you youngsters, educated, highly qualified, to be highly qualified in future also, to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. Because Srila Prahlad Maharaj said that Krishna consciousness to be accepted at the very early age of life. If this is the process of life and way of life, we do not adopt way of life at the end of our life. We adopt the way of life from the beginning of our life, to make that way of life meaningful and successful in our life. So in young age, one can mold one's life very nicely into good or bad things as per their choice. And as we have taken the highest good thing, the best things of all things, the process of Krishna consciousness, I can guarantee you that if you continue from this age very enthusiastically, in all seriousness, with all gravity, with all enthusiasm, you will become pure devotees in this lifetime. That is the guarantee Prabhupada gives. Because Prabhupada's success is his giving a formula to all of us, by which anybody from any walk of life, from any country of this world, for any caste, creed, race, nationality, if he just accepts this formula given by Prabhupada, then with all the differences and differentiations that we have, we can still perfect our life wherever we are. In fact, Prabhupada has left us physically so many years back, but still his formula is so applicable. Why? Because it is transcendental. It is a spiritual formula. It is not a material formula which decays by the influence of time. It is a spiritual formula. It is going to be applicable even after 10,000 years from now. It was applicable even 5,000 years before in Dwapar Yuga also. It is an eternal formula of chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasadam, having association of devotees, studying scriptures in the company of devotees, and perfecting our life in complete bliss. Finding ourselves in the platform of complete bliss, drowning in the ocean of happiness. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not just changing dress and putting some stamp on the forehead. It is also important. You must do that also to create a mood. Unless you dress up like a Vaishnava, you don't have a mood like a Vaishnava. So that is also important, but that doesn't end over there. In fact, it begins over there. When you change your dress, it is a matter of conviction that, yes, now I am willing to accept the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. When you bow down to the devotees, you are proving to Krishna that yes, I am now willing to accept the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. And when you do that, Krishna becomes immensely pleased, immensely blissful, looking at so many more living entities lost from his hands, coming back to his lotus feet again. Take shelter and to live healthy, happy, blissful, Krishna conscious life. Here and also at the end of this life, back home, back to Godhead. We are just practicing here. Whatever we want to live and do, what are we doing ultimately in medical college, in engineering college? Why we are studying? Because we are trying to practice what we are going to do after we graduate. Right? We are just training ourselves. So life in material world, in Krishna consciousness, is training to live naturally in the spiritual world. So today's verse is a very beautiful verse. I would like to give a little background to all of you of this verse. You all know the story of Gajendra. Some of you may not know. Srimad Bhagavatam has a very, very important chapter called Gajendra Moksha. And Gajendra Moksha chapter is supposed to be some devotees chant that chapter every morning. The prayers of Gajendra, Gajendra Mokshana prayers they are called as. And it is explained that if one chants after getting up and cleaning himself, the prayers recited by Gajendra, the king of elephants, then one gets residence in spiritual world after the end of life. And during this life, one gets freed from bad dreams. It's a benediction. Phalashruti, given by Shukdev. Which means we are all suffering from the reactions of our past activities. Sinful and also punya. Why is it suffering? Because when you enjoy punya, it causes suffering in the end. That is why so-called happiness given by punya also ultimately ends in misery. That's why we are saying the word suffering from the reactions of punya and papa. And because of that, Prabhupada explains that one gets bad dreams and his life is miserable. And when you get a dream in the night, it's a reality at that time. So it makes your life miserable. You may laugh in the morning, but that time you are suffering in the night. So Prabhupada says that if one recites Sri Gajendra Moksha, one gets residence in spiritual world and also gets some relief from the miseries while we are living in this world. So a very important chapter. The history goes behind in the Puranas that there was one Gandharva king called King Huhu. H-U-H-U. It's like Chinese name. Huhu. In China there is only one name. Hu. Hu means everything is over in that. First name, middle name and last name. But he had the name Huhu. And what he did, he was taking bath in one pond, very beautiful pond, with his queens and other people. And he was so intoxicated with the pride of his being a king and his enjoyment that he pulled the leg of a great rishi called Devala Rishi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions Asita Devala Vyasa. He mentions many sages. In that, Devala Rishi's name is there. Devala Rishi is one of the great rishis, like Bharadwaj, Asita, Vyasa Muni, like that. And he was performing his meditation in the water and being intoxicated with pride and arrogance, he pulled the leg of Devala Rishi. So Devala Rishi cursed him and said, "You become a crocodile in water." So immediately when he achieved the body of crocodile, instantly by the curse of a sadhu, he became humble, because now his beauty and his effulgence and his influence and power and wealth, everything has gone, because human life is lost. Devata life is lost. So become humble, beg pardon, and out of compassion, Devala Rishi said, "You will be delivered by Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan himself." At other times, King Indradumna, a great king actually, very great Rishi king, Raja Rishi, a kingly Rishi, or a saintly king. He had given up everything and he was immersed in meditation. He was immersed in meditation and Agastya Muni came. to visit him, and he was so immersed that he couldn't even notice, couldn't even perceive that Agastya Muni, the great Muni, has come. Agastya Muni is one of the unique Munis who had drunk the ocean altogether, completely. So powerful. He had such an appetite. And also he drank the ocean one time. So powerful. That Muni came and King Indradumna did not greet him, did not receive him well as a Vaishnav. So after some time calling many times, Agastya Muni got angry and cursed him. "They are so dull. You are not even responding, not even perceiving. You are so senseless, perceptionless. You become dull like an elephant." He cursed him. And he became an elephant. So his name was Gajendra. King Indradumna of past life became Gajendra, king of elephants. But he was so immersed in devotion that he didn't have any wrong intentions. So let's talk about this point first, that all of you are becoming nice devotees, very beautiful, attractive devotees to Krishna. There's one thing Prabhupada said, two things Prabhupada said that one has to do to achieve the kingdom of God: chant Hare Krishna and serve the devotees. And he said, Hare Krishna. So Sri Radha Giridhari Bhagavan ki, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai ki, Jai. So if we do two things, they are called as Yuga Dharmas: chant Hare Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. And one should be very careful not to chant Hare Krishna inattentively and not to offend the Vaishnavas whom we are supposed to serve. Very important. If we are inattentive while chanting, then the 10 offenses against the holy name are automatically performed by the person. If somehow happens to perform, all the 10 offenses are performed in non-chanting time. Is that right? When we don't chant, we are not chanting actually. That time, these 10 offenses are performed. Only one offense is performed during chanting, is being inattentive. And if we chant attentively, then we do not offend Vaishnavas and do not commit 10 offenses against the holy name. One of the most powerful Naam Aparad is offending Vaishnavas. And what makes us offend Vaishnavas? False pride. If we think we are great, we think we are great knowledgeable, we think we are very powerful, we think we are very strong, we think we are very beautiful, we think we are very full of opulences and influences on people, so we start condemning others. So false pride is a root of offense to anybody, including Vaishnavas. So you can see King Huhu, Gandharva has a very beautiful body, and he was king of Gandharvas. So while playing in the waters, he didn't even understand whom is he offending, whom is he trying to be playful with. He was a sage, Deval, and he pulled his leg in fun. So one has to understand how to respect Vaishnavas and be very respectful to them and do not offend them. So Deval Rishi, you may feel, oh, was he also on the same platform where he counteracted immediately? No. When the Rishis give a curse, it is out of great compassion. What are the thought of Deval Rishi? That if this person, who is a king of all Gandharva, so many Gandharvas are looking up to him for ideal behavior, how to conduct oneself, and if this person is such a disrespectful person to sadhus, then what all the Gandharva Loka people will do? They will do the same thing. They will all go to hell just because of his wrong example. So to save the race of Gandharvas, he cursed the king to teach a lesson to him and to all those who are observing and who will come to know in future. So he became crocodile. Crocodile means with long, sharp teeth in waters. Very dangerous animal, right? And what is the case of Indradumna? He was worshipping the Lord. He was immersed in the thoughts of the Lord. What was his fault? The message to all of us is, even though we unknowingly, unintentionally offend Vaishnavas, it has an effect. He didn't even know what was happening. He straight became elephant, all of a sudden. So you may feel, what is the use of worshipping and getting immersed in the Lord And his thought, I'm becoming an elephant. It's a risky business. So let us not become this kind of getting immersed in the Lord's thought. We also might become elephant sometimes. Unknowingly, intentionally. I'll keep my eyes open always. No, it is not like that. The message is very clear. When Rupa Goswami, such a great sage, incarnation of Rupa Manjari, he was one time closed eyes, immersed in having darshan of the intense pastime of Radha and Krishna, of love. And there was a very funny thing happened. Krishna left Radharani hanging on the branch of the tree. And he was having her legs on his shoulder. And she was holding the branch of the tree. And suddenly he left from there. So she was hanging and swinging on the branch of the tree. So Rupa Goswami laughed, looking at the situation like this. A very funny situation. How Krishna fooled Radharani. But at that time, one ugly looking personality, condemned by everybody, rejected by everybody, had come with great hope that Rupa Goswami will give him shelter without looking at his ugly nature. And he will look at him as spirit soul. Everybody else is looking at him as ugly person. But Rupa Goswami is a great sage. He will give him shelter and be kind upon him. With that hope he had come to see him, and that time only he laughed. So the Vaishnav was ugly bodied, took it an offense, he felt very sad and he went away. And immediately the darshan what Rupa Goswami was getting in his meditation just discontinued, stopped. Immediately opened his eyes. And he, being a great realized soul, understood that this meditation, this Trishtanta, this darshan can stop only by one thing, that is by Vaishnava Prad. By the time he opened his eyes, there was nobody around him. So he went around asking everybody. But still, nobody said anything. Then he arranged a feast for all the Vaishnavas. He called every single person who is a Vaishnava to honor a big feast. Everybody came and honored the feast. He begged pardon from everybody. Still, he could not get the darshan again. At that time, he met his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. And he asked, please tell me, who is now remaining? He says, one person didn't even accept your invitation of having prasad. He is that Vaishnava who doesn't have a very attractive body. People condemn him and ridicule him for that. So he went to his hut and fell at his feet and begged pardon. I am very sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. But even unintentionally we offend Vaishnavas, its effect is always there. And why we are discussing these stories here? Because we have so many Vaishnavas. You are a group of Vaishnavas. And there are so many Vaishnavas in the world who are, some are new, some are middle, some are senior, some are very senior, and some are sannyasis and some are aspiring devotees, aspiring disciples. So what happens when we come together? There is a probability of offending another people. You are traveling together, sitting in the bus, talking to one another. Somebody may not get seat, somebody may get seat. Somebody has to stand, somebody may lose his seat because he came late, somebody occupied his seat. So many things happen when you travel together. Or somebody comes little late for prasad and then the sweet is over. And the pakoda is very tasty but it got over. So many things take place when the Vaishnavas come together. Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that living with devotees is very, very difficult. Very difficult. But it is also a must for one to live with the devotees and learn to live with the devotees and learn to be blissful in serving them together. It is nothing great and transcendental and sublime is available in life cheaply. You all are IIT students. You think it's easy to become IIT graduate, to become BTEC? Huh? It's very hard. You all know that. How much you have to work hard weekly and monthly and quarterly and then terminally. End of the term. When you slog and sweat, then you get something sublime. And we are talking about the most sublime thing, that is Krishna consciousness. The precious jewel of prema and bhakti. It is not going to be available very easily. We have to really be vigilant, very attentive, do our duties and not to do those things which are detrimental to our path. Very important activity. At the same time, when you are with the devotees, you may find so many faults in them. you may be affected by the faults in them. Somebody may be unclean, somebody may be not very cultured in behavior, and he may behave in a particular way and you may not like it and you may get hurt. Somebody may be selfish, somebody may be angry, somebody may be envious. All these things are there, that's why we are here. But now we have understood that we are in having a disease. We have this body and we have this material consciousness which is separating us from Krishna. Now we need to follow the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. Now we need devotees to inspire us, to be us with. So we must learn to also tolerate the faults in the devotees and still do not offend them at the same time. Because anyone who chants Hare Krishna even once in life sincerely is dear to Krishna. Please understand. Do not think that, oh, he has come 3 years after me. I am 3 years senior to him. I am chanted 16 rounds for 365 into 3 years. That is how many years? How many days? How many rounds? So many rounds, or thousands of rounds I have chanted more than him. So I must be more dear to Krishna. And if I just treat him without attention, then Krishna may say, no, it's all right. He is not so significant devotee. It is not true. One who is chanting Hare Krishna is supposed to have understood the essence of all the Vedic literatures in the past lives by scrutinizing study. One is understood to have given all the charities. One is understood to have visited all the holy places in the universe. One is understood to have performed all the austerities that is required. After all this, only one gets the fortune of uttering the holy name of the Lord. So if you see somebody taking up Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, that means he has done all these things in the past. He may not be appearing to be very advanced devotee in the beginning. But it's all connection of lifetime to lifetime to lifetimes. It's all continuity, because Krishna consciousness is eternal. It is spiritual. It is non-decaying with the effect of time. So we cannot judge with our mortal understanding, with our limited brains, who is actually advanced, who is not advanced. It is not our business also. It is not our jurisdiction to judge devotees of their advancement. For us, it is sufficient to know that he chants Hare Krishna and he is respectable person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, one who chants Hare Krishna, he has to be respected. Rupa Goswami also has said, one who chants Hare Krishna, he has to be respected. One who is formally initiated, he has to be offered Dandavat Pranam. One is a Brahmin, he should be given charity and should be heard from. And one who is a pure devotee, one should take initiation from him, take shelter of him. But essentially what it means, all the kind of devotees who chant the holy name of the Lord should be respected. They are worthy of our respect. And much more than that, we should understand that as we progress in Krishna consciousness in the number of years, we may be a so-called senior devotee. More we have to exemplify to others by respecting the devotees. That how? Because now people are going to look up to you and they are going to follow you. What you do, exactly how you behave, they are going to really personally follow you. So more it becomes our responsibility. If we claim to be senior devotees, then we are supposed to be more respectable, more respectful to the fellow devotees. That is the proof of our being senior. Not just number of years and not just how long shikha we have. How many knots we are tying it with. Because as you grow in Krishna consciousness, seven head, your shikha becomes longest because you have kept shikha for a long time. Material law of nature grows the hair by few millimeters per day. So if you have happened to become a devotee 5 years back, then your shikha will be longer than anybody else. That is not the criteria of seniority. The seniority criteria is humility, tolerance and respectfulness. To be humble in front of Vaishnavas, to be humble in front of all the mankind and living entities, to tolerate the onslaughts of material life and be Krishna conscious, and to be respectful to all the devotees, all the living entities, and not expecting respect in return. That is the sign of advancement. So this way, Indradumna became elephant and Huhu became crocodile. and the again in the body of crocodile, which is supposed to be a dull body, King Indradumna forgot everything and adopted elephant life. He was the king of elephants in the forest. He went to the most beautiful lake near Trikuta mountain. It's described in Bhagavatam. What is the beauty of that place? It was so attractive, so enchanting, so enlivening to senses for enjoyment. He brought his beautiful elephant wives under the protection of elephant soldiers to the lake to enjoy with them. And he was enjoying with them like anything. One cannot imagine the breeze and the atmosphere and the coolness and the pleasant fruits and trees and flowers and the colors and combinations, and the atmosphere was so enchanting. You cannot imagine in Kali Yuga, in India or anywhere else, that kind of pleasure. And King Gajendra is totally immersed in enjoying with his wives and his family members, splashing water and really enjoying with them. And suddenly he realized that his foot is in the mouth of a crocodile. Is this a very unknown situation in our life? This is a very much known situation in our life. When we are most intoxicated, most unaware of things around, supposedly enjoying in our life, suddenly we are attacked with some disease, some danger, some mishap, and we suffer. And we get shocked, right? I went to Lonavala to have a very nice time. And the way I got accident, I broke my leg. Instead of enjoyment, I broke my leg in the plaster now. Why is this happening? Then I'm enjoying, and suddenly I get AIDS. Are? I want to enjoy unlimited sex life. But what is happening? AIDS is coming. Now I can't enjoy anymore. I'm smoking. And one day doctor tells me, you have got lung cancer. Why this is happening? I want to enjoy unlimitedly. But why I am interrupted again and again? The nature of the life, nature of material life, and nature of material existence is misery only. And the most when most unexpected time, the misery attacks us. So King Gajendra was totally intoxicated with happiness. The most unaware condition of his life, he was attacked with the most dangerous condition in life. See, he had his soldiers protecting him. He had his all his power, influence was with him. Nobody could disturb him in his enjoyment. Nobody could dare to come in the pond when he was there. His soldiers were guarding. He was so powerful. He had so many wives and who loved him. He had children who loved him. And the most loving company, in the most protected environment, in the most best environment, he was enjoying. So people will say, this is the best condition of life. What else do you want in life? Is enjoying with all that you want, with all the people that you want, whom you love, and you are in best protection and best environment. That's what the goal of our life is. And at that time only one is struck with danger. And what is the fact? Padam padam yat vipadam nate sham. At every moment of life there is danger. At every step there is danger. You may go with full preparation, studied 12 hours a day for last 3 years, and the final exam you are fully prepared, and you get up in the morning and you have 104 fever. What you can do? Has it happened to you anytime? Anybody here? Many times it happens. And suddenly you go and somebody is dropping you to the exam hall on motorcycle, and you get accident and you go to hospital instead of exam hall. This also happens. Because material world is full of danger at every step. So like that, Gajendra was caught up in the mouth of crocodile, and he had also faith in his own strength. He felt that I will defeat the crocodile. So he started fighting with him. Suddenly the enjoyment is disrupted, interrupted. There is complete breach in the continuity of the enjoyment. Enjoyment is finished now. All the wives are separate, children are separate. They become spectators. Now, before they were participators, then they become spectators only. Because who can relieve him from the underwater mouth of the crocodile? And there was fight, and fight continued, and continued, and continued. How many years the fight continued? 1,000 years. You may feel it's all mythology. What is 1000 years? No, when the life is 10,000 years, one can fight for 1000 years. How many years the Second World War took place? Anybody knows? Yes? Huh? 6 years, no? So, an ant who has life of few hours, she may say, how can somebody fight for 6 years? It's impossible. It's a mythology. No, but somebody who has a life of 60, 70 years, they can be in war for 6 years. It's possible, no? So, when the life is 10,000 years, 1 lakh years, in other ages, other yugas, one can remain young for maybe 10,000 years also. Now, out of those 10,000 years of young life, one can be in the war for 1,000 years. It's possible. So, he fought for 1,000 years. And because the habitat of crocodile was water, the crocodile kept getting its nourishment all throughout and remained strong because it was in its natural situation. And the elephant is a, earth animal, you know, on the bhumi. So, the elephant was in his unnatural atmosphere. So, he could not get his nourishment. And he kept fighting and getting drained, became weaker. And finally, a stage came in his life when he realized that although he is King Gajendra, although he is all powerful, although he has all protection, everything, he has become utterly helpless. And the crocodile has become the most powerful, winning opposition. At that time, he understood, now I can't do anything. He looked around. Until that time, he was fighting because he had false faith in his own strength. So he kept on fighting, and his strength went on reducing, and he became totally strengthless. No strength at all. At that time, he looked for help. Only when you think you are not having any strength, you look for help. It's a very important principle. But devotees are humble. They are not weak. Huh? Humility is not weakness. Humility is a true understanding that I am not as strong as needed. I need help. That's why I take shelter of the Lord. It is not something called as weakness, you know. People in the material world term this as weakness, mental weakness and physical weakness. It's not like that. Devotees take shelter of the Lord in full knowledge of the reality. Because essentially we are not having any strength. Amito Kangala, Krishna Krishna Boli, Dhayetava Pache Pache. With knowledge we understand this. With intellectual understanding we know this, that we don't have any strength. He looked around, his family members all were crying in love, true love and concern. But they were also helpless, they could not help him. He looked at his soldiers who were supposed to protect him, they could not protect him. Everybody whom he had faith in, nobody could protect him. After his genuine looking at them for help, none of them, all kinsmen, children, wives, who loved them, who had real concern with him, they were really affectionate to him. The soldiers were obedient to him. Nobody, all his so-called protection in life became useless for him. And he realized, I am utterly helpless. Everything around me is unable to help me. At that time, he started praying to the Lord. We have to come to that stage of life. Not necessarily that we have to have our feet in the mouth of a crocodile to get this feeling. We are already in the mouth of a crocodile called time. Is that right? We are already in the mouth of a crocodile. Time has come in the form of crocodile, and already we are being engulfed moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, and year by year. Who can stop that process of being steadily but surely getting engulfed in the mouth of crocodile? Sometimes when you are in the mouth of crocodile, the teeth may prick you and you feel, oh, I'm suffering. And sometimes you may be in between the teeth and no pricking may be there. But essentially, we are in the mouth of a crocodile. Is that right? So essentially, sometimes you may feel, wow, I got married. Such a beautiful wife, you know. Now our whole life is only enjoying hereafter. And suddenly then you get some disease, some problem, something like that. Oh, I got married but I am suffering. Again, I got a son, I am happy. So when you are getting married, you are in between the sharp teeth of crocodile. So you feel I am enjoying. And you move forward and you come under the prick and the grip of the teeth, one of the tooth of the crocodile. And you feel, oh, I am suffering. But suffering or enjoyment, in both conditions, where are we located? In the mouth of a crocodile. So it is better to get prick, so at least you are aware that we are in the mouth of a crocodile. And it is dangerous to be in between the teeth of the crocodile when we feel, oh, I am enjoying. Where is the crocodile? There is no suffering here. It's just enjoyment. You also get bad and see how much enjoyment is there. But essentially, everybody of us is in the grip of the teeth of the crocodile called time. And Gajendra became helpless. Like that, when we become truly helpless spiritually, that time we can seek shelter. That seeking shelter in true humility and true surrender is very essential in our Krishna conscious life. So what this chapter is named as? Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. This principle is very important. Unless and until we truly and helplessly with knowledge surrender to the Supreme Authority, Sri Krishna, we cannot be protected. We will be protected only when we take true shelter. Somebody was, a very funny story comes. Somebody was in great danger. So he said, oh Lord Ganesh, please save me. So Lord Ganesh came running. And by the time he reached, he said, oh Shiva, please save me. Then Lord Ganesh went behind and Shiva came in front. And by the time Shiva reached, he said, oh Devi, please save me. Oh, like that. You know, calling many personalities. So everybody was coming and getting confused. Whom is he calling? So in turn, he could not be saved by anybody because nobody was sure who was supposed to help. So what is important is to take shelter of one person who is the topmost and who can protect you. Not many. Do not take shelter of many. Take shelter of one. That one who can protect you, truly. What is his qualification? Who can protect you? Who should be all strong? He must have all strength. And he must have love and concern for you also. Somebody may be very strong, George Bush in America. But does he have any love and affection for you? If you ask for help, can he help you? No, he will not help you. He doesn't want to help you. He has no connection with you. So we have to find a person who is very strong, most strong of all, and who is also having love for you. Compassion, affection, attachment to you. And this combination is only one. That is either Vaishnavas or the Vaishnava Pati, that is Sri Krishna. So intelligence is to find that person who will give you true shelter. The king had people to love him, Gajendra. But can they protect him? No, they were helpless. They didn't have any strength. So he had one aspect fulfilled. That yes, all those who love me and are concerned with me, they are all next to me. But they are not able to help him. So what is the use of that help? We need that love and compassion and also ability to help also. And that is only Sri Krishna. So knowing well, he started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. One interesting point to note in this is that as long as his life was so-called happiness was going on in his life, as long as he was a king and enjoying his kingly position and pleasures of being a king, being a husband, being a father, being a ruler and all kind of influence and all facilities, he did not remember anything of his past life. But when the utter crisis came in his life, life and death situation, at that time, by the mercy of the Lord, he remembered the prayers that he had learned in the previous life as Indradumna. Very significant point. Krishna consciousness life is eternal. Whatever you do in Krishna consciousness is your ever asset. Eternal asset, Akshay Khata. It never gets exhausted. It remains there. When you chant Hare Krishna, the power of your chanting Hare Krishna remains in the ethos. It doesn't get destroyed. Everything else gets destroyed. Your money, your time, your youth, your influence, your health, everything gets destroyed. When we chant Hare Krishna, the spiritual vibration and the strength that you create, it remains eternally available in the ethos, and also it benefits everybody who is in this world also. It is said that when Rath Yatra passes, chanting Hare Krishna, the influence of the chanting Hare Krishna on that road of Rath Yatra, maybe in New York or maybe in the most worst materialistic city of the world, the effect of chanting Hare Krishna benefits all those who pass on that road eternally after that event. That's why when we chant, we should chant with great feeling in the heart. Knowing well that when I chant now over here, whoever will come in this situation again in life will keep getting the benefit of my chanting, which I did sincerely over here. That's why immediately when you come to temple, you feel vibrant and spiritually nourished. Why is that? Because devotees are constantly chanting and performing sankirtan here, deity worship over here and service over here. So you feel surcharged. You may go out of the road, you may not feel so much. But near temple you will feel. You go away from temple, you will feel decreased influence of spirituality on you. Because the influence of karmi nature is more materialistic feelings. But even in the middle of the materialistic city, if Rathyatra has taken place on this particular road, when you walk on that road, you may not know, but you will get the benefit of that particular chanting of the holy name. It is like this powerful in situ, at this situation also, at the same time, it is a continuity. It is not a breach in continuity. So you can imagine, he is living in the body of an elephant, suffering or in one sense, suffering in ignorance. He is supposedly enjoying, but actually he doesn't know what he has lost. And when a crisis came in his life, and he actually utterly became helpless, at that moment of time, by the mercy of the Lord, he remembered all the prayers that he had learned in the previous life of a human body. And he started reciting the prayers in his elephant body, with the same feeling that he had in the past, when he was worshipping the Lord in the body of King Indradumna. So we must have faith that whatever we are doing now is a continuous process. It is not going to be interrupted by your old age. It is not going to be interrupted or lost when you die and take another body. It is a continuous process. And that will save us, that will give us hope. This is a very hope-giving statement, right? Although King Indradumna became an elephant and suffered so much and then he went in the mouth of a crocodile. Was it a curse on him, actually? No. Because of that foot in the mouth of a crocodile, he was reminded of his original spiritual position. And he could offer heartfelt prayers and he could attract the attention of the Lord. And the Lord came running from Vaikuntha. It is explained that when Rajendra was offering heartfelt prayers, in true understanding of humility that he was helpless, the Lord traveled billions and trillions of miles from Vaikuntha to earthly planet in few seconds. You can imagine how much urgency Lord must be having. He didn't take normal course of nicely enjoying everywhere and traveling peacefully. Oh, somebody is calling me. Let me enjoy heavens and then let me go down and let me peacefully take bath in rivers and ponds and then I'll take Lakshmi to have some excursion. Anyway, I'm traveling. I'll take Lakshmi Devi to show, Radharani to show everything around and then go. Finally, I'll reach that elephant who is crying and see what I can do. Huh? Not like that. There was urgency in the prayer. Therefore, there was urgency in response also. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satayva sajam bhajamyam. As and how we approach the Lord, that way you get the reply, the response from the Lord. So when we get slow response from the Lord, blame ourselves only. But I am deficient in my intensity of prayers. I must chant intensely, seeking shelter helplessly from my Lord. I must ask for help intensely, truly, genuinely from the bottom of my heart. Then the Lord will respond to you with that intensity and with that speed. And because Gajendra exemplified in truth, spiritually, convincing to the Lord that it is an utter situation, emergency, Lord also came in few seconds. And he didn't wait to observe the situation. Lord is all cognizant. One of the verses that he is all knower. Word is Vishwavedasam. He knows everything. In the what's happening in the heart of everybody, what's happening in the every nook and corner of the universe. And he responded in such a way that he jumped from the Garuda and he physically with his lotus hands and fingers separated Gajendra from the clutches of the crocodile. And Acharyas explained that moment Lord's divine fingers touched his body, all the contaminations that was remaining in his body finished completely, got destroyed. Already by the dint of his sincere prayers, it was already in a very wonderful platform. But whatever contaminations, whatever unwanted anarthas, whatever he had in his heart, he got completely purified. That is the power of being in touch with the Lord. Here the Lord is touching the devotee with his fingers. But how is he touching all of us? Through the sound of his holy name, through ears. We are daily being touched by the Lord when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Through this sound vibration, the Lord is touching your ears, entering your ears and entering in the heart and making our existence completely spiritual and transcendental. And what happens by that touch of the Lord? We get free from all contaminations. We add more contaminations by our own activities in future. But at that moment of time when you chant Hare Krishna, you are getting nullified of all the contaminations. But because lack of understanding and sincerity, we keep getting contaminated again and again. So we have to understand that life of Krishna consciousness means chanting Hare Krishna and not committing any offenses to add in our account or in sinful activities. You cannot think that I chant Hare Krishna, anyway I am told in the classes that it will get washed off. So I don't mind taking some risk of performing some more enjoyment activities and next morning I will wash it off. No. That is being condemned. If one has that mentality, then one does not get any effect of chanting of the holy name. Holy name becomes ineffective on the person who thinks like this, that I will bargain like this, you know. I will confess and I will chant and I will get freed and I will again get free to perform any more activities of enjoyment and sinful activities and I will go on like this. No, you will lead nowhere yourself. You will lead yourself nowhere. Maybe you will find us in hell because of mistaking the holy name as a source of enjoyment for us. It's a very dangerous thing. If you, like Deval Rishi, was taking bath, the king who thought, oh, let me have some fun, you know, he also will join me in enjoyment. What is the result? He thought like that, but the things didn't happen the way he thought. He was turned into a crocodile. All his enjoyment, Gandharva, body, beauty, finished instantly. It's a big risk to take the holy name for granted. Take the holy name as a source of our material enjoyment. To take the holy name as a source of our all plans and success in sensual enjoyments. Holy name can give you bhakti and shelter the feet of the Lord. So we should not take it for granted. So like that, Lord responded him to very urgently and gave him complete benefit of his presence, the divine effect. So let us all become sincere and in a true condition of urgency in life. If we want the response like the Lord gave to Gajendra, then we have to first be in the position of Gajendra, in consciousness. You may not be in the mouth of a crocodile physically, because you may never see a crocodile in this life. But still, as I told you earlier, because we are in the grip of death, in the time, we need to be helpless by understanding. The child, when he is sleeping in the lap of the mother, next to mother in the night, a snake may come, vicious snake may come. The child is sleeping fully, tightly. The mother wakes up and kills the snake and child is continuing to sleep. So many a times when we are sleeping like this in the lap of Maya, we may not know the dangers around us. But if we have taken shelter of a guru or Krishna like the mother, the child has taken the shelter of mother, then without our knowledge we get protected. But taking shelter in full surrender is essential. Or calling the Lord utterly every single day the way Gajendra called is essential. Today you may not be in that condition. But in future, we all will be surely in that condition of helplessness in the form of time, which comes in the form of death. That time, if our practice of praying is not enough, then our prayer will not become as intense to attract the attention of the Lord. Is that right? So when the soldiers keep practicing, yes, at peace time they keep practicing, when there is no war. And what it is said, if you sweat during peace, you will not bleed during the war. Is that right? So intelligence means, when there is no war, you practice perfectly. And always in the peace time, be ready for the war. Don't start taking weapons and start practicing in the evening and tomorrow morning the war is going to be there. War never comes like that. War always comes like this, instantly. And one has to be satark, vigilant, constantly. The border soldiers are constantly day and night vigilant. No, they don't go to sleep in the night duty like employees sleep in the night duty. They are supposed to be awake. With oil in the eyes, they are supposed to be awake and watching. Any time the enemy may attack. Similarly, any time we will be attacked by Maya and any time we will be attacked by death. Can we guarantee that now we are going to travel from Pune to Pune from here, all of us will be alive? We can't guarantee. I'm sorry to say this. I don't wish like that. But the truth of life is something else. Although I don't wish like that. We have to be aware that any moment of life can be attacked by death. Can be attacked by the end of life. And are we prepared for that? No. When we are living in this life, in human body, fortunately, we must practice every day to chant Hare Krishna attentively the way Gajendra chanted his prayers. And that is why, because of the power of the intensity of his prayers, Lord Vishnu was actually forced, impelled to run in seconds to save his devotee. Because the point he called the Lord, he was about to die actually. His battle was going to end in his death, in the victory of the crocodile. So there was no time for Lord to think. Came immediately and rescued him. At the same time, he cut off the head of the crocodile with his chakra. And what happened? Both of them got delivered. Gajendra got Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha. Immediately he turned into four-armed Vishnu, four-armed Vishnu Duta. He assumed the Rupa, the form of the Lord. One of the Mukti is Sarupya. Sarupya, like the form of the Lord. Four-armed, blue-colored body, wearing pitambar, wielding four equipments. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Holding in hand. Not Vishnu, but he is like Vishnu. And Garuda took him back to Vaikuntha to live with the Lord. Can you see the effect of the benefit of the Lord? When he touches you, what happens? It's all fortune only. It's all suddenly a most miserable situation of one's life is turned into most blissful condition of life without a trace of suffering of what was happening before. Is that right? A moment before he was in crying, in the most weak, drained out condition, helpless, hopeless, useless condition, in utter pain of life, in fear of death. The most unwanted thing that you can ever expect to have in life, for all in his life together. In the next moment, the Lord has touched him and he has turned into four-armed Vishnu Duta, a blissful, eternal, full of knowledge body, attractive with four weapons and association of the Lord, body like the Lord, straight in Vaikuntha. This also can happen in our life. We may not have yet died, but we may be in a very painful condition in life. But if that time you remember the Lord utterly, immediately you will get transformed spiritually, blissful condition. This is a guarantee. Otherwise, how will we go on? Material life is full of sufferings. How can we go on? What is the hope? What is the guarantee that this will work? It works. In fact, every day when you chant Hare Krishna, you get blissful experiences. You may undergo many miserable conditions in life. And failures and this and disease and so many things may happen in life. But how a devotee can carry on? How he can remain blissful? How he can look very blissful? Because daily, without fail, when there is no war with Maya, they take shelter of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we need to learn that we should pray to the Lord very intensely, attentively, from the bottom of the heart. No show. We don't want to impress fellow devotees. We want to impress him. We want to impress him. Attract his attention. We come to the temple to attract his attention upon us. Lord, I have come. We have a Prabhuji here, who is a very, very, very senior devotee from ISKCON Juhu. He can't see. You may say, why is he coming to temple every day? No, he is coming to temple every day. Lord is seeing him. Yes, Prabhuji, is it true? Lord is seeing him every day. That is enough. So we have to understand that nothing can stop us from attracting attention to the Lord. If we are sincere at heart, we may be having no vision, no hearing, no speaking capacity. We may have so many faults in our body and in our mind, and disease may be there. But spiritually, no one can stop you. Spirituality can be not stopped by any material force. Prabhupada said that no material thing can stop a devotee's progress spiritually. Spiritual activities cannot be hindered by any material hindrance. We have to have faith in this statement. And in this life of suffering, when we are suffering, we can be blissful. It can be transformation urgently or instantly by the power of our devotion. This spiritual technology is so powerful that it can understand not only body and the material happening in the world, but it can make you understand what is soul, what is subtleties of intelligence and mind, what's happening in the mind. One can perceive what's happening at the spiritual level. That is spiritual technology. So all of you are students of technology, IIT, NIIT, very good. You have to now learn this spiritual technology, which is not only analyzing and scrutinizingly studying the elements of material life and their manipulation, but you have to understand how does the spirit work and how does the supreme spirit also work. That is very important to understand. That is true technology. A technology which will make you meet the supreme destination of our life. And that is possible only when we become humble and chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radha Giridhara Ji, a very mercifully standing here, very blissfully glancing upon all of you, young enthusiastic devotees, very eager to give shelter to all of you. We must take that shelter. And what is the meaning of taking shelter? Service. Meditation of lotus feet means to serve them. Truly identifying ourselves as servant of the Lord. It's a very revolutionary statement, you know, to become servant. Nobody wants to become servant actually. But spiritual technology means exactly opposite material technology. The material technology will teach you how to become boss, how to become master, how to try to master the material world. But I'm sorry, sir, you cannot master material world. It's only a futile attempt in ignorance that one can think, I will control the material energy. I will become the Lord and the Master of Maya. No, only one Mayapati is there. That is Sri Krishna. The rest all are Mayadas and Sada Udas. Kya kehte hain usko? Krishna Das, Bindas. Mayadas, Sada Udas. So we want to become Krishna Das. What is the meaning of Bindas? Fearless. We are fearless not because of pride and false pride. We are fearless because we have taken the shelter of a master who is all strong. Nothing to fear. And we are not going to harm others because of that. Because now I am fearless and I am arrogant. No. The shelter is of Krishna's, and Krishna is all strong. We are most meek and weak. And we take shelter of his, then we become also strong. We become like that we associate with. And Krishna is telling, become like me. Yashoda Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining to us, Krishna is very eager to make you like him. So we should not try to become him. We should try to become like him means adopt these spiritual qualities that Krishna is offering you and become glorious. We become glorious because we associate with the most glorious. Through service, through humility and respect. Then our life is successful. You being engineering students will become successful. You being a man will become successful. You become an officer or an important position holder in society will become useful. Everything that you do become meaningful and purposeful when you become Krishna conscious. So there is no harm in becoming rich, harm in becoming educated, harm in becoming influential and powerful in the material world. Dharmaraj, Yudhishthira, Amrish Maharaj were very, very powerful. They were Chakravarti Samrats of the world. No problem. As long as that being Chakravarti Samrat is in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, everything is perfect. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be falsely humble and falsely renounced. Prabhupada said, Yukta Vairagya. Other Swamiji will say, Maharaj, Swamiji, this is donation for you. No, 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 I don't touch money. And you give Prabhupada 1 lakh rupees, he said, yes, when is the next lakh coming? When are you giving to next 1 lakh rupee to me? Because he is not using that 1 lakh rupee for his service. He is not greedy. He is sure and convinced that whatever 1 rupee or 1 lakh rupee or 1 crore rupee are going to give him, he is going to use in service to Krishna. So why should he feel shy? Devotees never feel shy to beg. Because they are begging for Krishna, not for their sense gratification. So we are here to accept whatever Krishna gives you, education and culture and knowledge and position in society. You can accept everything, but by being Krishna conscious you accept. You accept all the position by becoming properly Krishna conscious, offering the benefits of every situation that you have to Krishna's service. And that will deliver not only us, but all those who come in contact with us get delivered from the cycles of birth and death. We are eternally suffering over here. Like Gajendra is suffering in the mouth of a crocodile. We are all suffering over here. Be convinced about it. Don't be in illusion that we are enjoying. Arey, hasne khelne ke din hai, maja karne ke din hai. This is illusion. It will be smashed one day. Illusion will be smashed for sure. Again it will be covering, again it will be smashed. So why not always remain enlightened with spiritual realization? That is what human life is meant for. If you really say proudly, I am a human being, the pride is that I become self-realized in this life itself by accepting the process of Krishna consciousness and utterly offering myself at the feet of the Lord. That is the message of Gajendra's story, as long as I understand. Hare Krishna. So if there are any comments, any questions, I am over time, but if any questions are there, we can like to answer. Yes? But you have to be audible for that. Ask one at a time, so I'll answer at one at a time. I'm a little less intelligent, so I'll take one at a time. Yes. Fear and duty and profit and duty and love. Yes. What kind of? So what is the question? Well, he is bringing his prayers in helplessness. One can be not in misery and still feel truly helpless in the heart, knowing well what's happening around. Or one can be actually in misery and offer prayers in helplessness. Both are same. As long as the result is to attract the Lord's attention, it is same. Yes, you must ask help from only from the Lord only. Don't ask anybody else. Ask him anytime also. Lord is always ready, waiting. Aap to puch ke to dekho. Next question. Any microphone is there? Cordless is there? Lelo. Let everybody hear the question. Please be little short, in your question. Be precise. All problems are absolute when they cause suffering to you. So, when devotees get problem, they get problems with the desire of the Lord to purify us. When our so-called non-devotee parents or relatives get problem, they get problem because of the reactions of their past activities by the influence of Maya. But anyways, both are suffering only. The devotees know why they are suffering and others don't know why they are suffering. Fine? Next question. Okay, any other question is there? Anybody else? Yes, loudly please.
Prabhuji, you told about Vivekan prayers that Gajendra offered with heartfelt prayers to Lord Vishnu. But now in our scenario with voice facility or voice facility, where voice in voice we get lots of facility. And if you do not feel
Yeah, our devotees are so kind, you know. When we joined temple in 1986, hardly any food we used to get, you know, properly. We used to fight for that, you know. But nowadays I see base, when they open base, pehla planning hi rehta hai, achha khana dena chahiye sabko. Such a hard work they do to give you comforts and everything. But all these facilities, when they come to you, they are meant to make you Krishna conscious, not to enjoy sensually. You have to understand that when we get facilities in base or in Brahmachari ashram or in whenever you go on yatra, Gaurang Prabhu is struggling day and night to feed you idlis and dosas and cakes and breads and pav bhajis, you know. Why sacrifice is done so much? So that you get the benefit of the experience of Krishna consciousness. So we have to, you can accept those facilities in gratitude, in grateful heart. And how do we respond? By becoming Krishna conscious sincerely. If we accept the facilities, enjoy those facilities and do not become Krishna conscious, the effort is rendered a failure. So one has to become grateful. Times have changed. The times of austerity and difficulties have gone now. Now there are so many facilities of health, healthcare and prasadam and residence and everything is there. Knowledge is given in super fine manner. Best classes are given. Best association is given. You are covered from all the sides, physically, mentally, socially and spiritually. And if you do not respond, we are most unfortunate. So if brahmacharis are taking care of you in many institutions and your job places and staying places and in temple, be grateful and be responsive. The only response we can give is by becoming very nicely Krishna conscious. So take association of fellow devotees very seriously. It's by the unlimited mercy of the Lord, one gets association of sincere devotees. You may get lot of people who are not very sincere, but only with the mercy of the Lord, Guru and Vaishnavas, and by dint of some pious activities in the past, we get association of sincere devotees. Devotees are very precious, please know that. Devotees are very rare and scarce in this world. The population of devotees is hardly 0.001% in 600 crores of people in the world. Not even 1 crore devotees are there. So devotees, if you get company of a devotee, it's a very, very auspicious and very precious property that you have. And then you start looking at faults and taking them not seriously and joking and time pass with them. Then hold the opportunity to achieve the highest thing in life is wasted. So we must take company of devotees very seriously. Use the time that we get with devotees to learn about Krishna consciousness more than talking about gossiping. Spend time. You may enjoy, no problem. Krishna consciousness is a process of enjoyment. You can enjoy. But enjoy in a Krishna conscious manner. Not in a nonsensical manner. See the purpose of all these activities and fulfill the purpose of the activities. If we do take devotees seriously, then we are successful. If we do not take the company of devotees seriously, you will be cast away from the company of devotees very soon by the power of material nature. Material nature is waiting when to separate you from devotees and throw you in the suffering's ocean, oceans of suffering. It's our prerogative to hold on to devotees because they are our only hope. Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Boli Dhai Tava Pache Pache. Tava is, who is Tava? That is devotee. Vaishnava. We are running behind him for shelter. And if so many Vaishnavas are holding your hands, they are protecting you from Maya and the sufferings that are going to come in future and now. So we should become very grateful. Otherwise, be sure you will be out of the company of devotees very soon by the power of the time and material nature. Do we want to be separated from devotees? I can't even imagine myself. Ramananda Rai told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him the last question. What is the most dangerous and most miserable known condition in the material life, in life? So I know only one condition that is most miserable and suffering. That is being away from the company of sincere devotees. There is no other suffering. Disease can't be suffering so much. This is, loss of money cannot be suffering. Death cannot be a suffering as much as being away from the company of sincere devotees. And that is spiritual. We may value material suffering more, but this suffering is true suffering because this separates you from the purpose of your existence. Then why we live? Why we be? For what? We are here to go back to Krishna, to unite with the Lord, our loving, beloved Lord, kind Lord, sweet Lord. For that we need devotees. Right now we don't know Him. We only claim that we know Him. We only claim that we have seen Him in the temple. But we do not know Him in a sense. Tumara Hridaya Govinda Vishram. The Acharyas say that you, my Lord, reside in the heart of your devotees. And only they can reveal us to you. Us. So we need devotees. Only by the mercy of devotees one can think, imagine to understand the Lord and then to unite with Him afterwards. So each one of you is very precious jewel in the ocean of devotion, and one should value all these jewels, not become proud. One may have come yesterday, you may have come 5 years back. Everybody is precious. One who chants Hare Krishna. If I go to Saudi Arabia and I am 20-year-old devotee and there are no devotees, and I see a devotee who has just come to Krishna consciousness yesterday, I will clinch him. Oh devotee, please come to my house for prasad. Hare Krishna, dandavat pranam to you. But when there is nothing, then everybody is precious. But why to make it less precious when everybody is together? They are precious even though they are together, or they are not together, or they are available, not available. All the time, eternally, the devotees are precious only. They remain precious. We only fail to understand their preciousness in different situations because of our material conditioning. So learn to value devotees. Now onwards, this moment onwards, pray to the Lord that my Lord, my respect and appreciation for devotees should never decrease. It should only increase, my Lord. I want to serve them. I want to please them. Because I know only by pleasing devotees, I can please you. I cannot attempt or imagine that I can please you directly. I can please you, my Lord, only by pleasing your devotees. So we end here. Thank you very much. We'll answer the questions afterwards. I'm going to meet you in Bhaktivedanta Hospital also. So we can continue our process. Time is up. The temple, 9:30. Sri Sri Radha Giridhari Bhagavan ki Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Sudarshan Chapu ki Jai.
Jai.